Tonight, it was my understanding that the five questions that we would ask each other would be read in the first speeches, and I was hoping that would be the case, so we could consider, all of you could consider the answers given, but that was not my brother's understanding, so we're not holding him to that. He did read two of them, and I'll probably read a few if I have a chance. Referring to some things he said in his first speech, "You can't fire me, I quit. You can't quit once you've been fired. There's no job left for you to quit." My brother doesn't understand what the word repudiate or dismiss or reject or put away means. He's arguing that it means simply spatial separation. A man can leave his wife and go to town to go to work, but he hasn't divorced her. He hadn't put her away. There's more to putting away. He says there's nothing left. Nothing left. The bond is still intact. It takes two people to make vows to marriage. Can one man vow for both? Can one disavow for both? He has one man disavowing, and that stymies the other party, the wife, if it's the man doing the putting away. There's nothing left for her to do. They both vowed, and they both can disavow. Don't tell somebody that he or she can't put away, can't reject, can't disavow, can't repudiate his commitment or her commitments to the other when they marry. All he sees is spatial separation. Once that happens, nothing is left, he said. What about all the commitments? What about all the love? What about all the promises? What about all the vows? Those can be rejected by either party. Give me book, chapter, and verse. Fill in the scriptures, he says. He gives me a scenario that's not in the scriptures and says, fill in the scripture here. After one's marriage has been dissolved, where is it? Give me book, chapter, and verse to prove that it is possible biblically to put away, put asunder, leave after one's marriage has been dissolved. He had one chart toward the end here in Matthew 19 and 9, the innocent party has a right to put away the guilty fornicating mate. That's where I take my stand. The woman in his proposition may remarry because she's in Matthew 19 and 9a, not in B, in A. Incidentally, every scripture he gives, Matthew 5:32, 19:9, Mark 10:11, Luke 16:18, there's no fornication in evidence, not in a one of them. He says they're parallel. Of course they're parallel. But his proposition says, and then this man committed fornication. There's fornication in his proposition. There's no cause of fornication in Matthew 5, 19, Mark 10, Luke 16. It's an entirely different scenario, but he's going to confuse the two scenarios. And how many times has he said, put away, put away, put away? That is the whole crux of this false position. That once an ungodly man has put away, he says Brother Rees admits that the person is put away, of course, but Brother Rees does not admit that God approved of it. See the difference? Yes, man can do a lot of things, but God doesn't approve of it. God did not approve in Matthew 5, in Matthew 19, in Mark 10, in Luke 16, what the man did. We'll look at that more in just a moment. He gave a parallel between Matthew 19 and 9, also Luke 16 and 18, in his proposition. His problem is that he sees sequence of events. He has Matthew 19 and 9. Let's turn to Matthew 19 and 9. Here's the way he's reading it. See if your Bible reads like this. "And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife except for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery," and then afterward, after he's done that, then a man comes along, and he that marrieth her when she's put away commits adultery. That's what he sees there. He sees sequence of events. That is not what Jesus is saying. Let's look at turn to Mark 10 and 11 and 12 again. Mark 10, 11 and 12. "He saith unto them, whosoever shall put away his wife," now here's the way my brother reads it, and some with him, "whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery against her. And then if later on she goes out and she herself," well, I beg your pardon, this is not in verse 12. Luke 16 and verse 18 is again where we get this sequence. Everyone that putteth away his wife, Luke 16 verse 18, and marrieth another committeth adultery. Then later on, you see, then afterwards, and in sequence to that, he that marrieth one that is put away from a husband committeth adultery. That is not what those passages are teaching. And Mark 10 and 11 explains it. He has me pictured as not agreeing that these passages are harmonious. To the contrary, Mark 10 is a commentary on Matthew 19. The Pharisees simply ask, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And Jesus, in essence, is saying, no, it is not lawful. And he that does it, the man that puts away his wife, except for fornication, three words, that's all I'm going to provide, and marries another, commits adultery. Well, what if he puts away his wife for every cause, as these Pharisees were asking, and someone else marries her? He commits adultery. Why? Because she is still bound to her husband. That's why. It's not because she's a put-away woman. God didn't release those two, or either one, from that marriage bond. Neither one had the cause for which to be released, to put the other one away. There is no fornication, no cause of fornication for putting away in any of these passages that Jesus deals with. Mark tells us that Jesus said that he that puts away his wife and marries another commits adultery against this wife that he put away. Well, she has the cause for fornication. And Jesus says that the innocent may put away the guilty for that cause. Jesus argues cause. Jesus focuses on cause. That's what he was asked about. See it in Matthew 19 and 3? Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And Jesus says the only cause is fornication. But no, we're going to add to that, and provided that there wasn't a previous divorce, that didn't affect the marriage bond one whit. And my brother is willing to admit, and we all agree virtually, I would think, in this audience, that when an ungodly spouse puts away for just any cause except fornication his mate, they're still bound to each other. God does not release either one, and that action, that ungodly action, is not the determinant of anything as far as remarrying is concerned. Trying to answer his arguments as best I can get to them here. In his last speech, he brought up these several. Let me look at them hurriedly. Why I could not deny Brother Reeves' proposition. And he read my proposition to him. And he says, I wrote to him that, you know, this is an inadequate statement of your position regarding our differences. It says nothing about a second putting away. Where'd you get your second putting away in anything that Jesus said in Matthew, Mark, or Luke? There's only one putting away because Jesus was asked about one putting away. Is it lawful for a man to put away? And Jesus says no, unless except for fornication. Now, anyone who puts away for fornication is putting away one time, but both can do it. Both can put away scripturally or unscripturally. But God approves only when one puts away. There can be 1,000 puttings away if there are 1,000 people doing it. In Mark chapter 10, if a husband puts away his wife for any cause and marries another, any cause, of course, as Matthew 9 says, without the cause of fornication, if he puts away his wife and marries another, he commits adultery. Of course. And if she herself puts away, there you have two puttings away in the fact that two can do it. If he puts away, and if she herself puts away, is that two puttings away? No, it's one on the part of each one. This two puttings away is a fabrication, it's a concoction of men, and then where do the scriptures say that? Well, where do the scriptures treat about two in one marriage? That is no scenario. It's the scenario that brethren bring up, but not that Jesus treated. I gave him exactly what Jesus taught in my proposition. He says, I believe that. And then he added, he wants to add some provisos to it and complains about my charging with provisos. He said, I believe that. I said, no, you don't, because it doesn't have your proviso in. He said, well, I'll deny it if you'll put the proviso in. Then there was a chart up there with a good-looking man on it. I got the Gospel According to Bill Reeves. I don't know where you got that, but that's nice. Whosoever marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery, unless she was innocent of fornication when she was put away. Where'd you get that quote? The Gospel According to Brother Bill Reeves. Whosoever marrieth her which is put away. Are you talking about what Jesus was talking about? That put away woman. There was no fornication involved. There was no cause of fornication. She was still bound. God did not recognize that ungodly action. It didn't change the marriage bond one whit. Of course, whoever marries that put away one commits adultery. Unless she was innocent of fornication when she was put away. That's not according to Brother Bill Reeves. Which scenario did Jesus not address? And he gives here what even Brother Hale wrote. I take the position that the Bible doesn't deal with all scenarios. I'm saying that the only scenario presented to Jesus was such and such, where there was no cause of fornication. And he cannot read anywhere in Matthew 5, Matthew 19, Mark 10, Luke 16, where there's any cause of fornication in the putting away. It's not there. It was not asked of Jesus. He didn't talk about it. But I'm saying that the principle in Matthew 19 and 9 will address this proposition, this scenario, which Jesus did not treat. This is another scenario, for it says, and then commits fornication. Brother Gwynn's proposition has fornication, the cause of fornication, and when one has that cause, the innocent has the right to exercise this divine permission. And no ungodly action of an ungodly spouse, which God doesn't recognize, is going to deprive her of that right that God gave her. But some brethren say, yes, we're going to make that proviso there, and if you don't agree with it, we're going to disfellowship you. He gave Mark 10, 11 harmonizes with other passages. He tried to show how that's exactly what his proposition deals with. There is no cause of fornication in Matthew 5, Matthew 19, Mark 10, Luke 16. Turn to Luke 16 just a moment. How much time do I have? In Luke chapter 16, verse 18 reads, every one that putteth away his wife and marrieth another committeth adultery. I went to a debate many years ago, and the brother affirmed that there is no justification for any Christian ever remarrying. Divorcing, yes, if there's fornication, one may divorce, but no remarriage. Proof, Luke 16, 18. Everyone that putteth away his wife and marrieth another committeth adultery. It's in black and white, right there. That's where I take my stand. Now, Brother Gwynn and I would have a problem with this fellow. We'd say, now, wait a minute. Jesus said if the cause of fornication is there, one can do it. If the guilty one is fornicating, the innocent one can put, if there's been no previous divorce, of course. He would add that in there. I'm not. I'm not adding that in. Jesus didn't. He'd say now, Brother Reeves not. Well, no, I guess not, because Brother Reeves won't put this proviso in there. But I would tell this man that Jesus said that everyone that putteth away his wife for fornication does not commit adultery when he marries again. You see, that brother was making an absolute out of that, just exactly like my brother's making an absolute out of the B part. Let's read the B part. And he that marrieth one that is put away from a husband commits adultery. There it is in black and white. Brother Reeves is justifying a put away person again, and it says right there that he that marrieth one that is put away from a husband commits adultery. There it is. Of it? Will he make an absolute out of the A part? The truth of the matter is, in both parts, no cause of fornication is there. That's why the one putting away his wife and marrying another commits adultery. He didn't have the cause of fornication. That's why he that marrieth one that is put away from a husband committeth adultery, because there's no cause of fornication there. We're going to bring up a proposition where he commits fornication, and we're going to apply everything that's said here where there was no cause of fornication, and we're going to confuse these scenarios and say Jesus said, but we're going to apply it up here when the man has committed fornication. that answers those charts where he tries to show his proposition is in these passages. In these passages, my brother, there is no cause of fornication in your proposition, and he commits fornication. So keep in mind, there's no sequence of events that Jesus is talking about when this happens and when this happens, and then afterwards when something else happens, then it says here, whoever marries her who is put away commits adultery. It's not there. Jesus said in Mark 10, and he doesn't like the passage, I can see why, gives him trouble. Look at Mark 10 and verse 11, let me read it to you verbatim. He saith unto them, whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another, committeth adultery against her, and if she herself. See, there's no sequence of events. It doesn't say, and then afterward. And if she herself shall put away her husband and marry another, she commits adultery. Jesus was asked, read it in Mark 10, verse 2. Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife? Jesus says, if he does it, he commits adultery. If she does it, she commits adultery. There's no sequence of events, but they have sequence of events, and then they argue in that last phrase, whoever marries put away woman. There was no cause of fornication in any of these passages. That's why, no matter what that ungodly spouse had done, God did not release either one. He had a good chart up there about man's part and God's part. But he sees marriage, he's never defined it. It's apparently just a matter of a physical union, and once that is broken, he says no one else can do anything about it. There's much more to repudiation than simply walking out of a house and putting space, that's why I say spatial separation, between the two. Trying to answer what he has said before, and if I have, what, a minute or two?
3 minutes.
Let's look at some more reasons why I deny the proposition that our brother is affirming. Again, let me keep this in mind. There is absolutely nothing in Matthew, Mark, and Luke directed to a put-away wife as to what she may or may not do. The proposition of Brother Joel's end saying she may not marry. There's nothing in that, in those passages in Matthew 19, in Mark 10 or Luke 16, that is directed to, now listen, you put-away person, you may or you may not do something. It's not there. It's whosoever, now Jesus, we're asking you about a man putting away his wife, all right, whosoever does that, whosoever puts away his wife, and furthermore, he that, Jesus directs himself to whoever does this without the cause of fornication, and he that marries her who is put away where there's no cause of fornication, the consequence is adultery. Let's stay with the text. Jesus directs his remarks to the consequences of what a husband might do and then what another man might do. But we're hearing all about the put-away woman, put-away woman. When I have time, I want to show you what they've done in making a class or a category of people. That's the box I'm talking about. Once this woman gets put in there, she's stymied, she's there, and he has her joined to, he has her bound to a fornicator to the day that she dies. Think about that. The proposition denies that Matthew 19:9 and Luke 10:11 are parallel, as I've just mentioned, even though, look at this, even though those two texts deal with the same occasion, same people, same question asked, same question answered, same reference to what Moses did, same teaching that fornication is against the innocent party, and therefore the same clear implication that the innocent party is permitted to repudiate the guilty party and to remarry, and there are no provisos, no pre's and posts, this, that, and the other. No befores and afters. That's it. Matthew 19:9 is Matthew's account of Jesus' teaching, implying the putting away of a wife who fornicates before any divorce has occurred. A man can put away his wife who's fornicating. No divorce has taken place. Mark 10:11 is Mark's account of Jesus' teaching that after the unlawful divorce, the husband is committing adultery against his wife as long as he stays with that second woman. Because God still has him bound to the first woman. He's never released either one. He's never released the husband nor that wife that he is committing adultery against because there was no cause of fornication for him to do that. And no ungodly act of an ungodly spouse is going to deprive the godly, the innocent, of a right that divine authority has described. These statements contain the same teachings.